All right. My son, every single time we go to church, he asks a question. Dad, is the Heritage Heroes tonight? And I say, yes. And then he gets so mad when we come in here and it's Wednesday night and they stay in here. He gets so upset. And then we go to leave and he says, but Dad, we didn't go to Heritage Heroes. And you said it was going to be Heritage Heroes. Well, I'm sorry. But tonight, Marcus, you get to go. All right? All right. Heritage Heroes, you are dismissed. He's got to be first. I think he's a little excited. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I had one sermon preacher mentioned at our men's deal, the father-son picnic, about me preaching on Wednesday. And then he said he'll probably be back. And then I found out this morning that he wasn't going to be able to, actually this afternoon. And the whole time I'd been preparing a message and had it all ready to go today. And then God laid this on my heart. And so instead, I'll be preaching something different, which sometimes means that it'll be quicker because I'm not as prepared. But my wife says, you say all the time on Wednesday night, we're not going to be here till 8:30, and every single time you're here till 8:30. So I'm not going to say it this time, and hopefully we'll be out a little earlier. But Proverbs chapter 4. I just said it, didn't I? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. It goes on to say, for I was my father's son, and tender, and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of my life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come to your house. And Lord, I know the weather's just not the ideal time that we'd like to be out and about with the thunder and lightning like it is. But thank you for the faithful that showed up tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would just be with us and give me the right words to say in your name. Amen. Every single parent, they start to plan at some point in time what they're going to do for an inheritance, what they're going to pass on. We know the Bible says that, you know, what is our life? It is but a vapor, appears for a little time, and then vanishes away. We don't have a whole lot of time here on this earth. We really don't know. It could be today that you're driving home and something could happen. And that's it. It could be. It could be that you end up like our friend Walter that was over at the Rainbow and lasts to be 118 years old and continue on. But at some point in time, one of two things is going to happen. Either God's going to come back, and those of us who have trusted Christ as our Savior, we're going to be caught up together, meet Him in the air, and then so shall we ever be with the Lord. Or we're going to die. It's going to happen. We don't know when. We can't really prepare for it. And so you just kind of have faith that God's going to take care of you. And my wife, there's certain things she doesn't like to watch. that she doesn't like some of those shows where they talk about, some guy breaking in and hurting somebody and all that. She don't like that because it scares her. She likes security. But we don't know. We don't know what God has for us. We do know that God has a plan for us, and it's mapped out, and when we follow it, God's going to take whatever it is and make good things come from it. But we do know that at some point in time, we're going to pass away. And the question I have is what have you prepared for your children when that happens? A lot of people in the financial realm, they go and they'll make up a trust, and they'll prepare that, which is a transfer of assets, pretty much, and they'll put things into this trust that they want to pass on to their kids, and then if something happens, and the trust kicks in, and they're able to provide and leave them an inheritance. Some people go and they'll spend a couple $100, and they'll get a will drawn up. And they'll make sure that somebody is an executor of that will. If you've got a will, whoever the executor is should be somebody that you don't like, because it's a lot of work to be an executor of a will. Trust me, I know. I deal with it all the time. So if you're preparing your will, find somebody that you don't like, make them the executor of it, but just don't give them any money from it and have them give it to everybody else, and then that'd be your last way of spiting them before you pass away. But somehow, you're going to prepare for that. If you have children, you have to be ready. Because you don't know. You don't know. Some people, there's people now, 25 years old, having a heart attack. It happens. Cardiac arrest. There's no way to prepare for it. And so people will prepare financially to ensure that their wishes are carried out for their children. And they're so concerned about that that they don't think about the other things that go in with it. And preparing them for when you're gone. Not only if it's at a young age, but as they grow up and become older. David took some time, as we read here in Proverbs, where Solomon is writing here and he talks about his father's son, how he taught me and said, let thine heart retain my words. And Solomon at this point says, I've got this from my dad, and now I'm going to pass this on to you, his son, Rehoboam. And I wonder, why is it that with Rehoboam, it didn't stick? It didn't stick. Solomon left a whole book about wisdom for his son. How to get wisdom. How to apply it. Things that he should look out for. Mistakes that he had learned, sometimes the hard way. Sometimes he learned them from his dad. Sometimes he learned them from God. And he put it all in this book and he says, here this is, in the chapter 1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge, and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. And he's giving these instructions to his son. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Wrote a whole book. We're still reading it today. God's wisdom that we're supposed to pick up and learn from. And Solomon did all of this work to lay out in writing what he wanted for his son to learn. And Rehoboam, when he became king, made all the wrong decisions. He wanted to show his power, and he wanted he says that his finger will be like his dad's thigh, and all these different things. And he didn't listen to the instruction of the older men that were wiser. He listened to the younger people of his generation, the influences that were already in his life. And unfortunately for Solomon, Rehoboam fell on his face. He was a failure. Rehoboam's grandfather was David. What a great man of God. A great king. A just king. Then you have Solomon, his dad, who was a fantastic king as well, very wise. He got the country very rich and stable. Made a bunch of alliances, and they went from war to peace. A very wise man. Passes down information, and Rehoboam looks at it and says, I don't need it. I often wonder, why is it that with Rehoboam, it didn't sink in? And it's because Solomon tried to pass on just in writing what Rehoboam should have done. He missed a couple of things. First off, as I'm saying, what are you passing on? The most important thing that our kids watch is not what we say, but what we do. Our kids, you can say all you want different things to them about how they should act. You can tell them to be blue in the face. This is what I want you to do. And you can try and teach them, and you can instruct them, but then the whole time they're watching. They're seeing what you do. And they emulate you. My son, Marcus, says all the time, Daddy, I want to be like you. That's what a son's supposed to say. Dad, I want to be like you. When I grow up, I want to be you. And the thing is he's going to be like me when he grows up. But what is it that he sees in me that he's going to be like? We've got a lot of young parents in here, a lot of kids that are infants, 1, 2, 3 years old. And they're going to grow up, and they're going to watch, and they're going to be like you. The question is what are they going to pick up that they're going to be like? There are some people that picked up the wrong things. We know the story of David. David was a great man of God, a great king. Made some mistakes, though. One night when the kings were supposed to go to war, David sent Joab instead on his behalf. And we know the story about how David sat there at home and he went up on the balcony, up on the rooftop and of his palace, and he looked out and he saw Bathsheba. He looked. He wanted, so he took. Very simple. His eye affected his heart, but not in the right way. He looked at her, said, that's what I want. He stepped forward. She came to him. We know the rest of the story. They come, and he has Uriah killed, takes Bathsheba as his wife, thinks everything is great. Ever wonder how many people knew the truth before it came out? How many people really knew? I bet there was more than one that knew the truth. It's kind of hard to hide some certain things. And here he is. He's trying to cover up his sin. And then his kids see it. They watch him. They're seeing what he does, how he acts. And as parents, we want them to pick up our good habits. We want our kids to see the good things that we're doing and have those as the things that they grew up to be like us. But there are times, though, when our children see the mistakes that we make, and unfortunately, they do the same thing. 2 Samuel chapter 13, a very sad passage of Scripture. David confesses his sin in 2 Samuel chapter 12. The very next chapter, It says, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, leaving from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And he goes on, and he tells her. They come up with a plan, the two of them together. Act like you're sick. Have your dad, have Tamar come and bring you food. And it all did exactly how they wanted. And next thing you know, he grabs her. And she says to him, she answered him at verse 12, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be one of the fools in Israel. That's some strong words. You do this, you're going to be a fool. You're going to be marked as a fool. Everywhere you go, people will look at you and say, that's the fool who took his own sister. Who could have done things differently. Their culture, he could have done things differently. He went to David and said, this is the situation. And she even says that. Your dad would not deny me. She says, don't do this. You'll be a fool. For no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not this folly. And she goes on and verse 14 says, howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, for sure lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. Amnon looked. He saw what he wanted. And he took it. Just like his dad. Exactly. The only difference is Tamar said no. But he looked. He saw what he wanted. He didn't care about the consequences. He didn't care about anything else. And he took what he wanted. And then once he did, he realized it wasn't what he really wanted. He hated her. Where did he learn it from? He picked up some attributes from his dad. Our children watch us. We can tell them all we want how they're supposed to act. We could tell them how they're supposed to talk. We could tell them how they're supposed to listen to the right type of music, how they're supposed to be friends to people, be friendly to everybody. Don't be mean to that kid. They didn't deserve anything. And they say, but you do the same thing. I hear how you talk about so-and-so. And they may not say it, but that's what they're thinking. And there's confusion on their part. Our kids are going to watch. Usually what happens is they look for where we're lowest at. And that's where they start. And there's a progression that starts to happen. You look at King David. Great man. Great king. His son Solomon was a great king. But not the same level. A little bit lower. He saw how David, instead of having one wife, David had multiple wives. Solomon said, hey, that's a great idea. I'll do the same thing. I'll just intensify it. And the Bible talks about how all these different women that he had made alliances with turned his heart against God. He saw some things that his dad did, and he just magnified it even greater. And we sit there and we say, oh, I want my kids to grow up to be better than me. Every parent, that's their goal. You ask anybody in here that has children, what's your goal for your kids? I want them to be better than me. I don't want them to make the same mistakes that I did. I want them to be better. First Kings chapter 15. The Bible says, now in the eighth year, in the king of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, reigned of Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Machan, the daughter of Bishlam. And he walked in all the sins of his father. Well, how many times will you read that in the book of Kings and Chronicles? They walked in the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as of the heart of David his father. He saw what his dad was doing, and he mimicked it. We want the right things, but they're going to catch every single little thing that we do. If you don't have kids, there are other people that are watching you. And they're going to follow after you. Siblings. You got siblings, younger brothers and sisters, they watch you. Jason, Charlie's going to watch you. He's going to see what you do. They follow. You influence them one way or another. You can sit there all you want, and you can talk to them and talk to them and talk to them and try to instruct them. And one person comes along. By Jonadab, his cousin. And they start talking. And I wonder if he said something like, hey, your dad did it. He got away with it. He's still king. He seems happy. Everything's turned out for the right. Yeah, there was some bumps or some hard times, but you know what? Everything's okay. See, the problem is our kids see us sin. And they watch us do it. And just like with David, David got his heart right with God. He writes Psalm 51 and he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And he repents of it. He gets his heart right with God. And our kids see us sin openly and confess secretly. They don't see the consequences. They don't see the pain and the hurt that we have because of the choices that we make. All they see is that you sinned and then everything became okay. You made a choice, wasn't the right one, but life is still good. Why is it that the people in 1 and 2 Kings and Chronicles, where the Bible continually talks about how they walked in the way in the sins of their father? No dad wants their children to be and pick up all their bad habits. They just don't. The question is do we take time with them, not only to teach them the right things, but to take the next step further and explain to them the consequences of sin? Most of the time, we don't want to do that because of our pride. Well, there are times with my son where I've had to come back to him and apologize to him. 5 years old. A 33-year-old man apologizing to a 5-year-old. Absolutely. I had to go to him and say, hey, son, I'm sorry. I got angry. I got upset. You didn't do what I thought you did. I was wrong. I talked to him about some other things. And I said, hey, this is what happens when you do that. And he's only 5 years old. I'm trying to prepare him. Well, I want him to not only just learn the good things that I'm doing, but I don't want him to make the mistakes that I've made. In the book of Judges, it talks about over and over again how the boys, the sons, picked up the sins from the dads. And the reason why is because the dads didn't sit down and say, okay, here's the deal. I have a problem with this, which means you're going to have a problem with this. This is what happens because of that. We're not open with them. And then all they see us making those mistakes, or they hear about it, and then they fall right into it again. And the cycle doesn't ever break. And instead of the goodly heritage that we want to pass on, we end up passing on our sin. And that's what they pick up. They drift just a little bit, just like Solomon drifted just a little bit from David. He tried to still stay a little bit close, but just a little bit more on the edge than David was. And you look at David's grandson, and he had nothing to do with God. And from there on, there's only a handful of kings after the split of the country that served God. Hezekiah, great king. His son, Manasseh, the Bible says he provoked the Lord to anger because of his sin. He purposely sinned to make God angry. The contrast between the two. Why? Kids, watch. We're picking up our bad habits. We don't do anything to teach them about it. We just try hammering in, hey, do right, do right, do right, do right. And we'll punish them and we'll spank them and we'll do whatever we can. Or, sorry, preacher says, we'll give them their time out. And we don't ever take that time, that extra time, and talk to them about the pitfalls of the sin that we've got. The pitfalls of what's going to happen from this. Instead, what we want to do is we want to pass on a goodly heritage. In order to do that, first, we've got to teach them the Bible. You've got to make time for family devotions. You have to. We started family devotions, and I'll be honest with you, we're not perfect at it. There are times when with my wife and I where we've missed family devotions. It's happened. But we try to strive to continually do it. Why? Because I want my kids to learn better than I did on how to have a walk with God. I understand that we don't have a walk with God, but I want them to take it to the next level. I want them to be better. So I need to give them that goodly heritage. I need to teach them and instruct them the right thing to do. And we started pretty young. They can start to talk. They start to sing songs. We're having devotions. And if Marcus is 5 and Anthony's 4, and it doesn't last very long. They'll sing a song. They'll pick a song. I'll tell a Bible story. And that's about it. But it's something. I want to teach them to have a walk with God. I've got to instruct. It's my responsibility to show them how. And I can't just tell them. They have to see it. We want to be able to just be like some officers. They'll tell people how they should act, but then themselves, they don't do it. Tucker's smiling right now because he knows it's true. And it drives people nuts. Why? Because somebody wants you to act a certain way when they don't even do it themselves. And that's how we are as parents. We want them to act a certain way, but then we don't do the same thing. And we've got to take that time and say, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start family devotions. Last night at our family devotions, wasn't very long. I told a story of Peter walking on the water and how he believed God. Marcus asked a question. Is Peter in heaven? Yes, he is. Why? Because he believed in God. And we went on from there and started talking. And eventually, last night, I got to lead both my boys to Christ. Amen. Family devotions. Boy, it was so precious. Marcus was jumping up and down saying, Jesus took my sin away. Now I get to go to heaven. Amen. He wrote my name in the book of life. And I don't ever have to die and go to hell. His brother said, well, what if we sin? And Marcus said, it's okay. God erased our sin. He got it. Why is that? Family devotions. That's so important. And I don't want to just do it now and then forget about it later on. It's got to be a continual thing. You've got to get in the habit of doing it. You've got to be able to pass on that goodly heritage. They've got to be able to see you doing it without them. It's important. They've got to see how you treat your spouse properly. That stability there is so important for them. You've got to do it. There has to be unity in the house. Can't be division. If there's division in the house, the kids pick up on that and it ruins them. It does something to them. I can't explain it, but it does. Proverbs talks about dwelling in unity. You've got to have it in the home. The husband and the wife have got to be able to talk to each other, and you've got to be able to be on common ground, especially in front of the kids. And they see that, and then they pick up on it, and they say, hey, life is good. And you got to start now. We teach them the Bible, what the Bible says, but then not only do we have to teach them, we have to live it. And that's the hard part. It's the most difficult thing. As preacher talks about, they're God's little spies. And they will pick you apart. They will see every single little mistake that you do and exploit it. They don't mean to do it in a bad way. It's just their nature. We've got to pass on a goodly heritage. Abraham found out how to walk with God. Lot found out how to walk with Abraham. He didn't really find that walk with God like Abraham did. Their lives ended drastically different. Drastically different. Why? Abraham learned the relationship with God. Lot, he was a just man. He was a good man. He had good intentions. But he missed a certain part. The message I was going to talk about tonight was out of the 12 disciples, they break into categories. There's three of them that are always lumped together, Peter, James, and John. Then there's another 8 that are in there as well. They're kind of the lesser known disciples. If I were to ask, and I'm not going to, so when I say this, don't start yelling out names, but really, how many of the other 8 can you name? My wife, she's like, I know because I was ready for this. I thought you were going to preach on this tonight. But we can get Peter, we can get James, we can get John, and we can get Judas. Then there are a couple ones that we can throw out there, Andrew and Matthew, that are kind of a little bit easier, a little bit more commonly used. They're kind of a step up, so to speak. And then the rest, we sit there and we think about it. And people are going to start looking in the Bible in Matthew. I didn't ask. Shh, quiet now. Remember what I said. Don't start saying names. Shouldn't start looking. What were the names? Why? Because they're kind of lesser known. The difference between the two groups. Now, we know already about Judas. We already know that Judas was not a Christian. I don't think that at the very beginning, Judas followed Christ with the intention at the beginning to betray him. The Bible talks about there comes a point in time where he sought to betray him. And it was years after he had already been there. Boy, you can hear that. It's amazing thunder. But at the beginning, I wonder why Judas did. Followed Christ for what reason? Because everybody else was? Because maybe he sought to get a little money out of it, exploit people. He did. The Bible does talk about how he held the purse. But why is it? Why did he do it? And there are people that are going to come to our church that will be just like Judas. They'll come and they'll sit in the pews and they will play the part. But they're missing something. They're missing knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're missing that relationship with Christ. They'll play the part. You won't be able to tell. Nobody knew it was Judas. When Jesus talked about it, all of the other disciples, they said, "Is it I?" Not a single one of them said, "I bet it's Judas. I've got him made. He's the one." Not a single one. They all just said, "Is it I?" There'll be people that will be in our church. You won't be able to tell. But they're not Christians. They're here for whatever reasons. Maybe it's socially accepted to be at church. Maybe they're doing it just because they want to get around some other people. You never know what their reason is, but they're not Christians. You got to be careful about that and who you get around. Because they influence your kids. They influence other people. You've got to protect your family. The other eight, what's the difference between them and the three? Ever think about that? Were they not as well known? Everybody knows Peter, James, and John. And James was even one of the first that was martyred. First disciple. John the Baptist. And James. He was beheaded. Didn't live very long. But yet we still know him. Why? Because he chose to take the extra steps to get closer to Christ. When Jesus would pray, he would go on just a little bit. And usually those three followed him a little bit closer. They separated themselves just a little bit more. The others, Thomas and all of them, Bartholomew, they had the same opportunity. They could have drew closer than what they were. But they didn't. For our families, we have got to draw close to God. Not just a little bit, but we've got to draw nigh to God. We've got to sell out all the way. Peter, James, and John sold out. They did. They went all in. They took that extra step, got a little bit closer. And because of that, their relationship was so much stronger. Where are you at today? What are your kids picking up from you? Well, we can sit here all day long and talk about how we want them to see the good that we do. We want them to see how we go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I know I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, the backbone of the church. We want them to see that side of us. We want them to see how we get around other Christians and how friendly we are with them. And we want them to pick up all these different attributes. But what are they really seeing? What's the real side of you? The one that's really you when you walk out the door and you go home and it's Friday night. That's who you are. It's Thursday night and you don't have to think about church. You can act however you are. That's what your kids see. They don't see the Sunday dad. They don't see the Sunday morning mom. They see the Thursday and Friday night parents. And that's what they pick up. Where are you at in your Christian life? We can want all we want for our kids to be better than us. But unless we do something about it, it's not going to happen. And we have got to choose to draw nigh to God so that we can pass on a goodly heritage to our children. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're not a bombastic message, but a very deep one. Just a very simple thought. What are we doing to pass on to our children? Lord, I pray that we would make a covenant with you, that we would live right, not just Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but the rest of the week. But that we would teach our children the Bible so they'd hear, not just hear the instructions, but then they'd see in our lives as well how we're different because of it. And that when they do grow up, Lord, that they will be better than us. And they'll be stronger Christians. Lord, we'll be able to rejoice in the thought that they go on to do great things for you. Be with us now as we go our separate ways. Give us safety. In your name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.